too.
This is great.
Deep breath.
Here we go.
First came
me,
and Dad said
G,
and then came
me,
and Mom said
me,
and then came
me,
and we said
that's three.
Big three.
Big three. Big three.
Oh, that's a tie right there.
Nailed it.
So, have you guys seen that show, This Is Us?
Not at all.
I have every episode.
Oh, so you know the format, how they try to wring all of the tears and all that shit out of you every single time.
Oh, no, I'm fully aware. I've seen every single episode.
Yeah, it's not a bad show, man. It's well acted, but, you know, the melodrama gets me a little bit sometimes.
Did you watch, what was it called? Parenthood.
It's very similar. It is. It's very similar.
I like Parenthood a lot. I think if I wouldn't have watched Parenthood first, I wouldn't have watched this show.
I checked out of Parenthood around, I think, the second or third season. But, yeah, it was a really good show. It had nothing to do with the show. I just had other things going on. But, yeah, it's very similar. But did you see the one where the dad finally got killed because of the faulty crock pot set the house on fire?
Yep.
Yeah, so my woman, she saw that one. And we have an older crock pot, so she decided to throw it out and go get a new crock pot because she thought the crock pot was going to kill us. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to see that your opens are now catering to the 44%. That's good. Oh, God.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to do, man? I have no reasoning for that, man. I mean, crock pot, bad. My alcohol consumption... Good.
Alcohol?
Exactly.
A couple extra C's in that one, buddy.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And his own story was as curious as his narrative. The tale of his life is the tale of a writer of incredible vision, an astute analyst and pundit, a lyricist compassionate and callous, a reckless hedonist, and disaffected malcontent.
I spit that wonder rhymes. Me and my conglomerates shall remain anonymous, caught up in the finest. Get that type of media coverage Obama get. Spit that Kurt Vonnegut. That blow your brain, Kurt Cobain, that Nirvana. Who gon' bring the game back? Who gon' spit that rainbow on the train tracks? That gold rope, that five-finger ring rap. Running with my same pack. You can find the Christ where the lepers and the lames at. Life is like
Yeah. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the one, the only... Pod is War. Shout out to the great Jay Electronica for blessing us with our introductory track this fine Thursday evening. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at ChairShot Radio Network in association with TheChairShot.com. Ladies and gentlemen, always, not sometimes, not every now and again, not every once in a blue moon, but always use your head. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Christopher Platt, and I would be remiss if I did not mention my co-host. Put your hands together and show your love for Mr. Andrew. Do not call me Snowflake Balls Blast.
Oh, I really like that applause. Like, that's nice. That brings the spirits up after the snowflake comment. That's a nice way to balance me out. Thanks a lot, Tony.
You would be pleased with a studio audience applause. Yes, that's fitting.
I mean, when it's what we got, you know, it worked for Cheers. It worked for, Full House. Like, I'll take it. Like, whatever's good enough for Dave Coulier is good enough for me.
Okay, so you want Alanis Morissette to give you a fellatio in a movie theater?
I mean, are you going to complain about that? Like, yeah, she played God in Dogma. Come on, I'm getting a head from Dog. Come from God.
you had it right the first time, bro. You end up getting
Where's the peanut butter?
And the voice of God on our podcast, ladies and gentlemen, is played by the one and only the commissioner of ChairShot Radio, PC Tunney.
Everything you've said is true.
Hold on, let me get his applause.
Oh, the nice golf clap. I like that. There we go.
That's that same clap them white folks was doing when Tiger won the Masters by 85,000 strokes that year. But I digress.
Clap all the white folks do during golf. That's what's called a golf clap.
No. A typical enthusiastic golf clap goes something like this. Black guy killing the competition golf clap, it's more like this. And then you just pray that the Masters dinner next year isn't catered by Kentucky Fried Chicken. Moving right along. All right, with that being said, Eye in the Sky, what's the first topic?
WWE pay-per-views. Should they be putting more effort into the non-Big Four or Five?
That's an interesting question. I didn't expect you to answer it like that. To be honest, man, they put a lot of effort in the non-Big Four or Five. You know, I would actually go the other way, Andrew. I don't know how you feel. I feel as if they put way too much effort into some of the off-brand pay-per-views, and perhaps we should get rid of some of the off-brand pay-per-views. I feel like any wrestling fan, we're all going to have the same opinion on this. Let's just do 12 a year. So we got the Big Four, which everybody participates on. SmackDown has their four, Raw has their four, and that's just how we do this thing. Now you have more time to kind of develop storylines and to set up your matches a little bit better. I think in a perfect world, we would all agree that's the place to go. Unfortunately, well, it depends on who you ask, man. If you ask the WWE and their shareholders, it's not that unfortunate. If you ask wrestling fans, they're probably going to say it's unfortunate or unfortunately. But the thing is, man, I think one of the issues that we have, we kind of have a failure to communicate between the WWE and the marks or the smarks or whatever you want to call them, because we're still operating on the premise that WWE is a professional wrestling organization. No, they're no longer that anymore. They are a content provider. So whether good or bad, right or wrong, that's just what it is at this point.
I mean, that's a good point right there. When it comes down to should there be more or less focus on the Big Four, non-Big Four, Five, whatever it is, it's kind of like, you know, six in the one hand, half dozen in the other, because some of the storylines are just so half-assed and thrown together and convoluted that it seems like they're putting a lot of effort into something like the Fastlane thing. That has turned into such a joke of a storyline where it's been dragged out, and then they find ways to shoehorn Kevin and Sammy in there. Then Shane has to find a way to get his vengeance on them and put something in there to block them, but then it makes AJ Styles' life harder when everybody just wants the Styles Nakamura match, and they're making you jump through so many hoops and jump so many sharks and, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's, special handshake, do it in cursive, do it in a different language, learn kanji. Like, it's completely ridiculous how much, I can't even call it effort, because it seems like they're just muddying up the storyline just to make it seem like they're putting in effort. But really, it's going to probably end one of two ways, and nobody's going to be that surprised.
No, not at all, man. They've got these two pay-per-views that they're contractually obligated to put out. And in the big scheme of things, and I believe that I talked about this on Chairshot last week, nothing of consequence or significance is really going to happen. We're just treading water until we get to WrestleMania or the WrestleMania build. You know, the old school traditionalist in me, I miss that long, slow build for WrestleMania so that all the matches are hitting their crescendo right as we're getting ready to go into the pay-per-view. But unfortunately, that's just not what it is anymore. Like, if I had my druthers, I would take AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura off television completely until WrestleMania and just do video packages, watching them train or whatever it is, man, because WWE does the best video packages in the business. Like, that's undisputable. But that's what I would do. But unfortunately, again, man, they're no longer a professional wrestling company. They're a content provider. So their whole goal is to pump as much content out there as possible. And it's unfortunate because you're kind of cutting your nose off to spite your face, because there's a lot of storylines that they could drag out. Like that Cena and Reigns match, man, you could have dragged that out for 6 months to a year and then have that crescendo at one of your Big Four. I think they've done a really good job, though, however, of making the Big Four the Big Four. And they all kind of have their own distinctive identity now. Obviously, WrestleMania is WrestleMania. SummerSlam is now WrestleMania Summer. You have the Survivor Series, which kind of has like a Super Bowl feel to it with the Raw and SmackDown interaction. And then you have the Royal Rumble, obviously, which kicks off the road to WrestleMania, theoretically speaking.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good description for all four of the big ones. And the only thing that I guess will give us a new topic to talk about is that whole Survivor Series aspect and some of the Big Four aspect, because if the rumors are to be believed and they actually follow through with them, because, you know, it's wrestling, card subject to change whenever the hell Vince decides to sneeze and have a different idea, we could start seeing dual-branded pay-per-views moving forward after, what was it, Backlash, I think the article said. So all of this conversation could be for naught in the long run, because then they're just going to give us more dual-branded, more... that's going to be interesting to see how they handle dual brands, if they're just going to muddy it, if they're going to have storylines actually cross Raw and SmackDown, or if it's just going to be one or two SmackDown storylines and one or two Raw storylines on the same pay-per-view, because that'll just give us a whole different thing to talk about at that point.
Well, I kind of think, and I believe somebody brought this up in our private chat, in our chair shot communion, if you will. I think that the reason they're going to do it for Backlash is because that's the pay-per-view coming out of WrestleMania, and perhaps they're going to have another superstar shakeup. So now they can, whatever storylines or matches that they're trying to do, they can still be able to do that. As far as moving forward, having dual-branded pay-per-views, I kind of feel like that's ultimately just going to be a cluster. It might be cool for the fans, but I don't even think it'd be cool for the fans, man, because how many fans out there are, oh, I'm Team Raw, or, oh, I'm Team SmackDown? I don't really think... I know that's the dynamic they're trying to set up, but I don't think that's hitting at all.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, they try to even make the wrestlers seem like they're Team Blue or they're Team Red, but really, it doesn't matter. It's all WWE. Like, there's no competition going on in there as much as they want to try to push it. Like... It's still wherever you end up is where you have to stick around until the next shakeup, and then the writers will tell you whatever happens next. Like, it is what it is with no viable contender ever, like a number two or a number one A spot on national prime time in North America. Yeah, WWE is allowed to do whatever the heck they want, and they've been fairly successful with it for the last 15 years, because they did just boast their biggest return, what, last quarter or something like that. But still, I agree. It's probably going to be a cluster, and it's meh.
But I mean, at the end of the day, though, man, that's ultimately the problem with corporations, man, because the lifespan of a corporation, or the expectation of a corporation, is constant and exponential growth. And the issue with that is there's no organism on this planet that has that trajectory. So ultimately what ends up happening is that you cannibalize you eat your competition, you cannibalize your entire market, and you eat your competition. And then after that, you end up cannibalizing and eating yourself. And that's kind of where they're at right now, because that's, you know, I don't want to say they're too big to fail, but I mean, the McMahons are the feds at this point, so they're kind of too big to fail.
They are. And The funny thing, or the caveat onto the whole McMahon situation, is that they have that ace in up their sleeve. Because we talked about it last week when we talked about 205 Live going under Hunter. All they have to do is release a press article, or just some kind of thing that says Hunter now has creative control over SmackDown, or Hunter now has control over Raw. And suddenly people are back with it. Suddenly people think Hunter's the savior, and it's all it takes. Like, one little itty bitty thing, and then boom, everybody's back on the gravy train.
Well, we're back with it, but the issue with that is the stockholders, because they don't have the faith in Hunter that we do, because they just see Hunter as a dumb wrestler. They you know, they don't know anything about his business acumen or anything like that. They just see him as a wrestler. So that's, I think that might also be a reason why they're hesitant to pull the trigger, because people trust the name Vince McMahon. He's built up enough cachet. You know what I mean? But I saw that the Eye in the Sky, he said that he's Team Raw, and I really wish he would leave his personal life out of the proceedings this evening. So, that being said, go ahead and hit us with topic two, sir. Please and thank you.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans. Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean Shenanigans?
No! Oh.
You're talking about Shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
Finn and Seth, double pin. Shenanigans?
Ooh. I see what you did there. I appreciate it. That's a good movie. And that's a good word. So Finn and Seth, where do we begin with this whole train wreck of two guys who should probably be two of the main players on Raw or anybody, any brand in the WWE? And we got them languishing in weird tag matches, six-man things with Finn and getting the club back together after kind of being in obscurity forever because of the whole Bray, Sister Abigail, Pumpkin Demon, who knows, whatever the fuck that was. And now Seth has all of his tag team partners have been injured and Roman's in his own kind of singles push, so he's got nothing going on. So I guess you just take two people with nothing going on and shove them in some weird double pinfall, possibly a singles match next week to, you know, validate the last entry into the chamber, or they both go in and three people start, or there's an extra pod, or somebody descends from the rafters, or I don't know. It's probably going to end up in Finn and Seth at WrestleMania for some random shenanigans reason. And I don't know. Platt, you
our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Evil shenanigans.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We get the point. But so let me ask you this then, man. Who are your Raw power rankings, man? Because it's painfully obvious to me that Seth and Finn are both two of the top players on Raw.
They're two of the top wrestling players on Raw, but you can't say that storyline wise they've been treated that way, or even overall fan reception of them. Like Seth, sure, because he's got more years under him and he's got a nice heel run and all that other stuff. But you really can't validate Finn as completely with the casual fans as you could with the marks or smarks, as you and I fall under that, because I don't know anymore when it comes down to some things. But
do you need a hug, Andrew? Would you like me to give you a virtual hug right now?
No. That's okay. You can keep your hug to yourself. Like it's just one of those things. Like it just bothers me, just the fact that they have two of the better wrestlers
kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
They have okay, don't ever interrupt my co-host while he's making a point. Only I can do that. Go on, Andrew. Go on, Balls.
Point. They have two of the better wrestlers, and they just have them languishing in teams and factions and nothing and this, that, or the other thing, just to kind of have, I don't even know why. Like, every other company does it so you can put focus on a new main event player or something like that, but this just feels like they were kept away because Brock is too big and they're not realistic to beat him.
Yeah.
Like it feels like it was a protection thing.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Are they wrong in that assessment?
But they haven't made them look strong either this entire year and a half that Brock has had, or not year and a half, it's been like a year, but still they've been away from the main event scene for probably about a year and a half at least. And it's just, I don't know, like they're giving Elias more credibility as somebody that can make an impact on Raw than Finn Balor.
Okay, so number one, let's not act like we haven't seen this before from WWE. What was it, WrestleMania 17? Kurt Angle versus He Who Shall Not Be Named. Hey, I don't have a match. Hey, I don't have a match either. Hey, let's have a match against each other. Like, they've done this before, man. So I'm not that concerned, because I'm assuming that they did have plans for Seth and everybody that they want him to face. There's been rumors of the Dean Ambrose thing. We were obviously going towards the Jason Jordan thing. Both of those guys are injured. It kind of is what it is. I think all things being considered, man, this is a good spot for both guys. They get to go out there and show their ass come WrestleMania. Now, as far as Finn not being pushed up to that main event level, yeah, I mean, we can't act like they didn't strap the rocket onto him when he first came up. He beat Roman his opening night there. He won. He's the first ever Universal Champion. The only it's unfortunate, man. He got injured, and that kind of derailed his push, and then they went in a totally separate direction. These things happen, man. It's unfortunate. It kind of stalled his momentum. That's unfortunate, man. But these things happen. But, you know, we can't act like they don't have plans for him. He went out there. He beat AJ Styles, who's the WWE champion. He did that. They reassembled the club. They got their moment with DX. That was cool. Like, they obviously have future plans for this guy, man. Plus, he's still hanging out there with the whole, I was the original Universal Champ, and I lost my title, and nobody ever beat me for it, and I never got a rightful rematch. So obviously, coming this upcoming year in 2018, he's going to get his rematch. You brought up earlier, the Brock Lesnar albatross, because there's a lot of guys that have been forced out the paint because of Brock Lesnar. So once we get this Brock Roman thing out the way, Brock is out the paint, and that's going to open up the lane for a lot of guys. I'm thinking the Miz's, the Braun Strowman's, the Finn Bowers is on that list as well, and a lot as if they continue to push him steady, just to name a few.
Oh, you're not wrong at all. No, I agree with you completely there.
Typically, I'm not.
Yeah.
You should be used to it by
now. I know.
How many weeks have we been doing this show?
Enough for you to need new material. That's what the fuck that is. But still.
Enough for you to get something right, but I'm still waiting.
I realize that Lesnar is the albatross, and I realize it's not like they've buried the two guys. I didn't use that word. I'm just saying
that. You used every word but the B word, man.
Because that's a stupid word, especially in wrestling when anybody can pop out of nowhere. But they've just done nothing with these guys, and it's hard to watch because they don't portray them as main event players through their actions in the story or in the ring, per se. It's one thing to keep saying he was the first Universal Champion. He was never beaten. Nobody's got a fucking rematch for that Universal Championship. Kevin Owens, Goldberg, Finn. It's like that's the championship that doesn't have a rematch clause because nobody gets an initial rematch or nobody gets a rematch at all. Or you'd see everybody who lost it clamoring for it. And nobody does. So it's kind of a moot point that he never got his rematch.
Poor Snowflake, I understand that that internet porn and World of Warcraft have warped your mind and you have the attention span of a raisin. But lest we forget, less than, 2 weeks ago, maybe possibly three, didn't Finn Bálor just spend a damn near an hour in the Royal Rumble and was part of the final four of the Royal Rumble? That's a hell of a burial.
No one said burial. You're the one that keeps bringing it up. Like, I didn't say that they weren't portrayed as top guys. They were portrayed through what the announcers are saying, but story-wise, they're not. Whoop-de-doo, he spent 55 minutes or 53 minutes, whatever it was, in the Royal Rumble. Good for him. He stuck around. There's plenty of people that have been sticking around in Royal Rumbles. Like, let's see, didn't Santino almost win one because he stuck around for a while and got sneaky? Didn't Rusev almost win one because he popped out from under the ring because he rolled under it and tried to eliminate Roman and then Roman flipped him over? Yeah, how well did that go? Being top four or final four, final three, final two doesn't mean that they see you as a main event guy. It just means the story played out so that it's something for you to use as a feather in your cap to move it along. Kind of like when Mojo won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and he's really accomplished nothing all year. He said it a few times in the beginning of the year and even brought it back up, but accomplishments don't really mean a lot aside from storyline bullet points in WWE until the writers forget about it.
Okay, then. Again, man, don't cry for Finn. At the end of the day, he's Irish. Vince is Irish. He's got eyes. His Irish eyes are smiling.
Oh, good God.
The one, the only, Mr. Finn Bálor.
Oh, so Finn's his dear, his darling one? His smiling and beguiling one?
Yes. And I bet you at WrestleMania, he'll come out to an orchestra of bagpipes playing Old Danny Boy.
Oh, the pipes are calling. Oh. Anyway.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I
bet you think Roddy Piper got buried too because he never won the championship, the world title.
Who the hell said the world title matters? The world title is not what equates burial and push. I didn't say that. Stop trying to add your own shit in there. Yes, pipe, stop it. I'm not even gonna acknowledge that one. Moderator, voice in the sky, do your thing. Next question. I'm ignoring what you said. Go.
R.I.P. Hot Rod.
Cruising down the street in my 6'4", jocking the freak, clocking the dough. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoop. A car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino road.
Easy E, James Ellsworth, challenged for the NWA title.
I wish we had video to go along with the audio, man, because the visual of Eazy-E playing while Andrew Balls is sitting up here chugging a fifth of Jack, you can't buy this kind of stuff, man. This is hilarious. I wish you guys could see what I see. This was hilarious. It really was, man. The only thing better than this was my mother talking about taking a pistol to her job and breaking stuff in there. While No Vaseline was playing in the background because we were watching the NWA movie. But
what the fuck? That's holy shit. Segways and God damn it. All right. Well, we're off the rails a little bit on that one. Keep your 6'4 in your pants. Come on, stop it. No.
Thank you. Okay, moderator, okay. Jesus Christ.
He really likes Eazy-E.
Clearly. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I think I'm just going to let it ride. Andrew, man, this whole NWA thing, man, I mean, come on, man. All right, number one, man, Billy Corgan, man, with all due respect to Billy Corgan, man, he's just like Dixie Carter, okay? These guys and these
people.
Yeah, he's just another mark, a guy growing up. There are people growing up loving wrestling, ended up being marks. They had some paper or access to some paper, and they got cool with some wrestlers, and the wrestlers are working them, getting paid, getting a check, getting spotlight. And I'm not mad at the wrestlers for that whatsoever, man. Shout out to the wrestlers, man. They're working some marks. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to work the marks. And that's all that's happening here, man. Yeah, you know, Billy was really serious about this wrestling thing. Why would you try to resurrect the brand? And all due respects to the NWA, man. There's a lot of lineage in the NWA. The NWA is over 100 years old. A lot of lineage there. I have nothing but the most due respect and admiration for the company known as the National Wrestling Alliance. But in 2018, man, that name doesn't mean shite, okay? That's like trying to resurrect the Marx Brothers, okay? Yeah, they had their time. They're iconic, but it's over. It's 2018. So I don't, you know, if he was really serious about this, man, why wouldn't you try to start fresh and new and create your own thing? You can't tread on somebody's heritage that most of the fans don't even know about at this particular point in time, man. Like, nobody cares about the NWA, and it's sad, but it is what it is. Shout out to Magnus. Andrew, what's his real name he's going by now? Oh, I forgot.
Nick Aldis.
Yeah, Nick Aldis. Shout out to Nick Aldis. He's a fine wrestler. I'm sure he's a fine chap. He married Mickey James, so good for him. Kudos. Okay, he's got his Cracker Jack prize at the bottom of his box, all right? But he's not championship Nice. Yeah, you caught that.
Thank
you. He's not championship material, man. The NWA belt means nothing right now. So every season during WrestleMania, man, my woman and I, we compete. I have a replica of the big gold NWA belt. I have a replica of that. And every WrestleMania season, we compete in different challenges to win that belt, because the winner gets to walk into the WrestleMania arena wearing that belt. And right now, the NWA belt means about as much as that belt does. Shout out to James Ellsworth, by the way. He's the big winner in all of this, and he's the guy I'm most happy for. It's like, hey, I was on WWE TV. I'm the first ever Women's Money in the Bank winner. Show me the bag. Get your money, James.
Yeah, okay. I see your point. And, you know, you're about as salty on the NWA as I was on whatever the hell the WWE has been doing for the last 6 months. So don't try to make it seem like I'm here eating my Tostinos and just, you know, being all sad and mad about burials and death of a brand and blah, 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 cry for my wrestlers.
What, Well, one of them is relevant. One of them is not. One of them is about to put 90,000 people in the Superdome next month, 2 months from now. One of them would be lucky if they can get 90 people into the Home Depot.
Okay. Yes. The WWE is bigger. It is the biggest brand out there. That doesn't necessarily equate good. That doesn't necessarily equate that it's better to be on their side than not on their side.
I said what relevant Billy Corgan, balls.
I know I said you relevant said relevant. Balls. I'm working to it. Will you stop? Shit. Anyway, so Billy Corgan, when it comes to relevance, is trying to make the company relevant again, which is a genius way he's doing it. And here I'm gonna say my piece. You can refute it, like you probably will. But let me just say it out.
I will. But I'm. Please, I'm interested, man. I'm all ears, man. I'm shutting the fuck up right
so
now. Please,
everybody from the Meltzers to the Kellers to the guy down the street to the dude giving you your KFC chicken is telling you the indie scene is thriving right now. Sure, thriving for the indie scene, maybe filling out your bingo hall to 500 people or selling out a 2,500 seat arena, but it's still a lot better than it was 3-4 years ago. So when you have a thriving indie scene who's bringing in, say, a couple grand more per show, which is good. It's good for the boys. It's good for everybody. It's good for the bookers. You can get bigger names to come in. NWA Corgan is taking the traveling territory kind of concept and bringing it back where he's doing shows at NWA Hollywood. Tim Storm lost the belt to Nick Aldis at CZW. They've had House of Hardcore stuff. They just announced that Tommy Dreamer is going to challenge Nick Aldis during Nick Aldis' big 20 defenses in 30 days at a House of Hardcore match. So, and Nick Aldis, I think, is taking it over to Europe at some point. So he's hitting all these little indies, which are still booming. So it's technically going to accrue to maybe not 90,000, but it's still a bigger audience than they've had in the longest time. So why not take a belt that's got, what, 77 years of history and prestige, and you've got the Harley races and the Ric Flairs and all of them, and even Ronnie Garvin, throw him out there because he was a damn good fucking worker and he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And why not build off that prestige and that history and be like, hey, the WWE is big and they like to see and they like to say then, now, forever. But guess who's more then, who's just as now, and who has a better forever if things keep going the way it is? That's the NWA.
Bruh. Listen, if Billy Corgan wants to play wrestling promoter on the weekends instead of putting out more Smashing Pumpkin albums or whatever the hell he's doing nowadays, maybe he ran out of a shave gel so he could shave his damn head. Whatever. I don't care. Nobody cares, man. The NWA is not relevant anymore, and that's okay, man. Sometimes things die off. Sometimes things, everything has a shelf life, man. Everything has a life cycle, man. It's the circle of life. You heard about it in The Lion King. You read about it in The Water Cycle. It is what it is, man. If you were really serious, man, why would you try to resurrect a dead brand? I mean, the NWA has been dead for years, man. I mean, WCW became the new NWA. Nobody cares about WCW anymore except for us.
No. TNA became the new NWA if you're going to actually nitpick on numbers and names and letters.
How'd
that
work out? And how'd that work out for them?
I mean, when it was the NWA TNA and it boomed and then Dixie Carter killed it. You cannot blame the NWA on TNA's bust. The NWA is fine. Sure. Yes, it's not that relevant at the moment and he's trying to build something back up. Why not try to build something back up? You are a Cleveland Browns fan. That freaking franchise was dead and moved to Baltimore and then somebody decided to buy it and build it back up. Granted, it hasn't been great.
Being
a Ravens fan.
Build it back up? We haven't got to that part yet. Number one. Number two, thank you so much for bringing me back to my original point when you said the words Dixie Carter killed TNA. It's the exact same thing, man. It's a mark with some bread getting worked by the boys to get a check. That's all it is. They don't know anything about wrestling. Billy Corgan doesn't know anything about wrestling. Just says he's cool with some wrestlers. And from all reports I've heard, that was his thing. He got really cool with a lot of the boys in the back. That's cool. Good for him. He gets to go to fantasy camp. He does nothing about running a wrestling organization, and you're not going to resurrect the NWA name. He doesn't even have a television slot. And as much as I agree that television is a dying medium, as a professional wrestling organization, if you do not have a television slot, you are dead in the water in 2018. It is what it is. And Jeff Jarrett could get on TV. Jeff Jarrett got more games than
I get you. Yes, Jeff Jarrett. Still, in 2018, you can live and breathe off of Twitch and all this other stuff going on. Twitch is a huge medium that so many different wrestling companies are exploring. And you see WrestlePro and TNA and Impact, they're doing stuff. Wrestle Circus does stuff. They were the first ones to do stuff on Twitch. House of Hardcore does stuff on Twitch. Sure, who knows about Twitch revenue and what that is to TV and all that other stuff.
How much money are they making on Twitch? Yes.
I don't know. I haven't seen their books. But the point is they're still getting their product out there. Dixie Carter and Billy Corgan are not even close to the same thing because Dixie Carter was not a fan of wrestling. She was a mark in the sense where she thought it would be cool and she could make money off of the wrestling business. Billy Corgan knows wrestling, respects wrestling. And if you ask most wrestlers, when you get new wrestlers that come up, anybody that was a fan of wrestling is usually more accepting of older wrestlers giving them advice. They're more knowledgeable when it comes to how to sell, how to give a promo. Like, look at the whole Dan Lambert situation in Impact. He's a mark and a half for wrestling, and he gives a better promo than 85% of people holding a fucking mic in professional wrestling right now. And he's MMA. He's not a trained wrestler, so who the hell knows? Marks are not necessarily a bad thing. It's one thing to be a mark for wrestling, and it's another thing to be a mark for yourself. So you're just trying to be like, oh, look at me. I put together a great card, and yeah, I got Hulk Hogan to wrestle Nick Aldis in the Tokyo Dome. Ooh, nobody gives a fuck about that shit. Come on. Like, that's not what we're talking about. Billy Corgan helped to resurrect TNA. Billy Corgan has been proven to be a smarter businessman and a smarter wrestling mind than Dixie Carter and plenty of others. So the NWA is fine. It's in a great position. And hell, if we want to get Dave Lagana or Billy Corgan to come in here and argue against both of us, or argue mostly against you, I would love that, because the NWA has a great idea. It's bringing back the territory thing, and I think it's going to do big business in the next couple of years.
Shout out to NWA, man. Among all people, as a wrestling historian, man, I would love nothing more than to see the NWA return to prominence, man. Shout out to all the men and women that NWA is employing right now. Everybody, I mean, it's always a good thing to have more wrestling territories and organizations, because it's more places for the boys to work. It's more places for the ring crew, ring announcers, referees, backstage people, agents, bookers, yada, yada, yada. All of that is beautiful, and I'm pretty pleased with Sugar on Top. I want it to work out. I'm not rooting against them, so let me clarify that. I'm not rooting against the NWA, man. I want the more wrestling companies we have, the better. The more places the boys get to go work, the more places people get to go and cultivate their talents, man. That's all good. I have my reservations about Billy Corgan. It is what it is. And then shout out to you for pointing out some very good points about Billy Corgan as a businessman, as a wrestling fan, all of that. I have nothing but the utmost respect to Billy Corgan. He's proved himself in the music world. It's cool that he's trying to jump into wrestling and make that happen. So shout out to all of them. I'm not marrying anybody at this particular point in time. But all that said, in the immortal words of the poet laureate, Sean Corey Carter, also known as Jay-Z.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
On to the next topic.
All Japan Pro Wrestling Champion Carnival will be dominating April.
Yes, it will be dominating April. And for anybody who's not aware, let me give you a little bit of, I guess, backstory on this. Champion Carnival is basically, let's equate it to the G1. It's a bunch of big names, former champions, up-and-coming wrestlers in All Japan, and some of the freelance affiliates or the smaller Japanese organizations that all vie for the trophy at the end of the Champion Carnival. And the winner usually does get a championship shot for the Triple Crown Championship. Now, that being said, the two biggest things to come from this year's All Japan, or we could even push it out, the three biggest things are Jun Akiyama has decided to unretire to re-enter into the unretire from the All Japan from the Champion Carnival, because he's not retired as a wrestler. He just said he wasn't going to do the Champion Carnival anymore, but he's back in it. So there's that. And then there's also the two big freelance names, which are Shingo Takagi, who is a four-time Dragon Gate, Open the Dream Gate champion, which is their heavyweight championship. And then there's Noah's Naomichi Marufuji, who has innovated many moves, one being the curb stomp, another being the Shiranui, or the sliced bread, which Alex Shelley and many other cruiserweights like to use. And
hold on, man. I mean to cut you off, but what is the sliced bread? Explain that to me.
Sliced bread is that move where you put him in a cutter position, and then you climb up the turnbuckles and jump backwards and slam him.
Okay.
That's
nice.
The sliced bread.
Okay. So,
and Marufuji innovated that one. And he's also the only person to hold the junior titles in All Japan, New Japan, and Noah. So he is one of the most decorated wrestlers in the Japanese game right now. And he's only like 38, 39. So he's still not exactly old. Takagi is, not that old. I think he's only like 35. Then you've got Shuji Ishikawa, who was the winner of the Champion Carnival last year. Then you've got Suwama, who is the former ace of All Japan. Then you've got Kento Miyahara, who is the current ace. And a name that everybody should recognize is Yoshitatsu, which All Japan has actually made him look competent. And he's put on some great matches. And he's currently the tag team champions with Kento Miyahara. And Yoshi's looked like he's actually not a bad wrestler. Like, I'm very impressed with his work in the last couple months.
Well, first and foremost, man, let me throw out this disclaimer, rather. The thoughts, opinions, and views of Christopher Platt do not necessarily reflect those of Chairshot Radio Network and thechairshot.com. I felt like I had to throw that out there. Number two, Andrew, I love you, man. I really do, man. I just want to, like, stick you in my pocket and feed you sunflower seeds until you grow into a real boy, man. You're so cute, man. You're adorable, man. I everything that you just said, you were so excited about it, man. It's like watching a father brag and boast about his daughter that's got three kids by three different dudes, has had six abortions, and flunked out. Okay, so...
What kind of people do you know that brag about that? Holy crap.
It's a long, strange life, Balls, and you meet a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, man. And you
live that close to the trailer park, buddy.
You end up meeting people you had no idea you would ever run in contact with, bro. Let me tell you.
I'll fight them.
Yeah.
No, I won't fight them.
So typically, even though you probably know none of the names beyond Yoshitatsu, you're not even a little excited knowing that. I know you're aware of the G1 and the level of effort and the level of, I guess, pageantry that kind of goes into breaking up the blocks and breaking up the matches and hyping up everything for like this big, big main eventer versus main eventer, or upper mid carder, up and coming guy versus somebody to cut their teeth on or show they've got some stuff. None of that like intrigues you?
Well, this is the thing, man. The whole time you were talking, man, the only thing I could think of is how, damn, none of that would work here in America at all, whatsoever, on any level. And that sucks. It really does, because I love the G1. The G1 is typically, arguably the best wrestling event of the year, every year. So, I have all due respect for New Japan, man, and I have all due respect for All Japan, but I just don't see... that's all I could think of. None of that would work here in the States, man, because number one, people are stupid. And I said it, my cry, two tears in a bucket. Number one. Number two, man, it would become so convoluted and so watered down, and they would just muddy up the waters. Like, the only thing that I could think of is the only time that the United States actually tried something like this was, what was this? Was it Starrcade 89? It was either Starrcade 89 or 90. where they had the round robin tournament thing. Do you remember that? So they had four tag teams. It was the Steiners, it was Doom, it was the Road Warriors, and the Samoan SWAT team. And then they had the four singles, which were Luger, Sting, Great Muta, and Ric Flair. I can't remember the name of it. I want to call it the Lethal Lottery, but I know that's not, that's something different. I can't remember what they called it, but it was the round robin tournament thing, man. And they had a point system and this and that. And it was just so convoluted. And the matches were so short. And quite frankly, at the end of the day, all they did was bury Doom and the Great Muta in the whole tournament. And it was just a cluster, the whole thing.
I get what you're saying. And yeah, I do vaguely remember that. I don't remember what it was called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. But it's odd. Because using your G1 example, the G1 as we know it today was not the same as what it started as. Because, hell, the IWGP title started off as the G1 title, hence G for Grand Prix. So it was like the Grand Prix, like the number one Grand Prix. So it was a yearly defended title before it became New Japan's main belt. So it's one of those weird things where you kind of have to give it a shot. And, you know, WWE is doing that cruiserweight tournament right now, which you get one or two matches every week and you kind of see it as it advances through. So if WWE is more open to other companies, I can see something like this maybe working. But in the current landscape, yes, you're completely correct. Nothing like this could work unless it was done on an indie level where you saw Impact, ROH, PWG, CZW, WrestlePro, MLW, AAW, Bruce City Wrestling, all this other stuff, unless they all sent like a champion or a big guy into some giant like North American, United States kind of tournament. That might work, but then it's not on the same scale as the Champion Carnival or G1. So I see what you're saying.
Which is what they need to do, really, man. Like, they need to resurrect the NWA. I mean, you don't necessarily have to call it the NWA. Shout out to NWA, man. I love you guys, man. But all these, control. All a little bit, yeah, a little bit, a little bit. But all these smaller indie federations need to link up together, man, and do business together, and figure out a way to work with each other. Obviously, the human element always comes into that, and frankly, the human element screws up everything. Like, we screw up everything. But that's what they need to do, man, to try to not necessarily even compete with the WWE, but just to kind of solidify yourself and do your own thing, man, and create a viable alternative.
And I kind of like stopping it there because that hits all the points. I mean, the only thing that could be added to it would be All Japan's supposed to be getting a streaming service before Champion Carnival starts. It's supposed to happen in March. So if you have any interest in watching All Japan's quote-unquote G1 kind of tournament or a tournament style, which is going to have great wrestling, great matches, pay attention for All Japan's streaming service to kick up. I think they said it was supposed to be about 900 yen, which should equate to maybe like $8.25, $8.50. Depends on the exchange rate at the time. But yeah, New Japan's is only like $9 and it's 999 yen, so 100 less yen, probably a dollar less. So you're looking at like $8 for equally good wrestling in All Japan as New Japan. And I have no clue what their archive is going to look like, but All Japan has just as much history as New Japan. So we could be getting a lot for not very much money. So with that,
konnichiwa, bitches.
With that, since you were talking about alternatives and multiple brands and branding, I guess this is a good time to kick it to somebody who's fully aware of his own type of branding. He has two podcasts. He's the ambassador of Slapdicks. He's in love with LoisRules.com, and everybody needs to try to help Shivani pay for that wedding. So let's hope that Conrad Thompson has something nice to say about ChairShot Radio and thechairshot.com.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, and you're listening to the ChairShot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Always use your head. So what was it? Jack Daniels versus Jim Beam and
and Johnny Walker showed up as a special guest referee.
Nice. Okay. Hey man, quick tangent though, man. Before we get to topic five, man. This week, man, I celebrated my birthday and we went skydiving. And or not skydiving, indoor skydiving. So it was really like this big cylinder full of air. So think about it like lottery balls just going up in the air and then they pull one out. And I was thinking, man, what better way or what better gimmick match could we have than a indoor skydiving cylinder match? Like, how cool would that be? Oh, just see the dudes floating around and trying to fly and hit each other and stuff like that. Like, how cool would that be, man? It's like real life Matrix.
And you said that Billy Corgan's a mark. What the hell? Eye in the sky. What's the last question? Get us out of this.
I'm an innovator, man.
Uh-huh, sure. Fuck.
Rey Mysterio versus Jushin Thunder Liger, dream rematch.
You know what, balls? I know I bust your balls, pun intended, hey, for being such a Japan mark. But when this match was announced, man, or rather when you told me this match was announced, I was excited, man. So for those of you that don't know, man, I'm a huge Jushin Thunder Liger mark, man. Liger, I beg your pardon. I'm a huge mark for him. I'm also a huge mark for Rey Mysterio, man. I love both of those guys. And really, you could throw Great Muta in there as well, because these are all guys that, in my eyes, and just strictly talking about my eyes, man, they revolutionized wrestling for me. Like, they did things. I saw these men do things in the ring that I didn't even know was possible. So I have love for all these guys. I have love for both of these guys, man. And I'm truly looking forward to this. Now, the last time that they fought was about 20 years ago, man. It was at, was it Halloween Havoc or was it Starrcade 98? Starrcade
96.
Starrcade 96. Okay, so I'm all the way off. So thank you for that, sir. So it's been 22 years since these guys have fought each other. Now, ironically enough, man, I actually watched that match last year. I hadn't seen it since, you know, it was live and in color. I watched it last year. It was a fun match. It was interesting just seeing these two come up and seeing where they were in their careers, too. So there was a lot of subtext to that as well. But it was weird because Liger, number one, he was fat as hell. Or maybe I shouldn't say fat as hell. Maybe I'll just say he was bigger. So he didn't do a lot of the high-flying things that I came to love about Liger, and most people, you know, growing up watching him did. Now, I know we talked about this before we did this topic, and you were saying that he was possibly at that particular point in time dealing with some injury issues, and he was just coming back. Is that correct?
He just came off of brain tumor surgery in August or September of 96. So you're looking at two, three months off of brain tumor surgery, and he's trying to go in there and have a high-level match against Mysterio. And then a couple weeks later, he was supposed to, or probably like a week and a half later at the time Starrcade was on, he had to have a Tokyo Dome match against Dragon for the J Crown title, you know, the big nine belts that he dragged in, because it was at that same time frame.
So that being said, man, that adds more subtext or context, whichever word you want to use, to that particular situation. And he's a badass, like point blank, period. That's flat out. And it was a good match, man. It wasn't what I was expecting because, you know, I'm thinking of the Liger of old. But that's just not what he is right now. And the way I understand it now, he doesn't do a lot of that high flying stuff anymore. Because, I mean, he's old. He's got to be in his 50s by now, right? Because, I mean,
he's
he was
53.
Yeah, because he was old school 20 years ago, man. So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, from when I particularly or when I first saw him. So, yeah. And now Rey Mysterio, he came back for the Royal Rumble a few weeks ago. He looked phenomenal. He looked in the best shape I had seen him in years. But at the same time, the mileage and the bump card is adding up on him as well. So this is a situation where it's two name guys and two legendary guys. And it's funny, man. I heard this from Conan, man. He said this one time. He was saying that, you know, you work hard and you bust your ass to get over. And then once you're over, you don't have to do a whole lot because you're over. And that's what I see this matchup coming at. And then these guys have, Jesus, what, 50 years combined of wrestling experience, and that might be shortchanging it a little bit. So I have no doubts that they're going to go in there and they're going to put on a hell of a show.
Yes, I think they got about 60 years between the two of them. And you're right that the match between Liger and Mysterio wasn't what you expected. There was no high flying from Liger. Liger was a little heavier, and that could be attributed to the fact that he was fresh off of surgery, so who knows how much time he really had to train or condition. Like, that part I'm not up on, because I didn't really research it that far to find out when he finished his surgery and when he got out. But Liger last year had some good Best of Super Junior matches and had some really fun stuff. He doesn't fly as much as he used to, obviously, because he's in his 50s. He's an old man. But his ground game is as good as anybody's. He hasn't really lost too much of a step when it comes down to what you expect to see from him. Now, will he do the sit-out Liger bomb like we saw him? I think he finished the match with in Starrcade. Probably not, because he just kind of does a regular like jackknife-style powerbomb nowadays most of the time. But he could also pull out some stuff from the arsenal. He doesn't do much because it is a special occasion match. And you're right. Many people, once they're over, they kind of go on cruise control because they don't need to try as hard. And I'm pretty sure I heard that one from Conan, too. So I think you're right on there. But when it comes down to it, Liger also is very, very famously opinionated about himself and the fact that if he doesn't feel like a match is going to live up to his standard, he'll say no to it. I'm pretty sure that it was 97 or 98 where he was offered a cage match, and since they don't do them in Japan, he was not comfortable with the concept of doing a cage match and performing to his level to entertain the crowd, so he said no, he wasn't going to do it. So I feel like if Liger couldn't go or didn't think like it would be at least on par with the Starrcade match, because Starrcade match was good, but it wasn't what it could have been, I think Liger would have probably declined this.
They told an interesting story in that match, man. So, yeah, I don't want to make it come across as if I, you know, did not enjoy the match, because I did. It had two of my favorites in there. But, yeah, like you said, Drew, it wasn't what I expected. So perhaps my expectations were too high. And yeah, but it wasn't a bad match, man. It wasn't what it could have been, all things being considered.
It also had to follow Malenko versus Dragon, because that kicked off Starrcade. And that was a beautiful match. Yeah. That was one of the best matches I've seen those two have in general. So yeah. I'm pretty sure it was just, it paled in comparison to the other quote-unquote junior cruiserweight match, whatever. So that probably hurt perception a little bit. And a couple botched spots didn't help either. But still,
But one of the things I love about Liger and Mysterio, man, is that these guys are able to emote. Like, they're able to convey so much emotion, even though that they're wearing masks. And that's really a gift, man. And that's a hard thing to do, man. It's very hard to connect with an audience when you're wearing a mask and convey those emotions, man, that go into a wrestling match. And I love both of these guys, and I'm looking forward to see it. These guys are old pros and old vets right at this point in time. So it's like, imagine if Eric Clapton, Prince, Tom Petty, R.I.P., R.I.P. Prince as well, and all these different guys got together, Bono, and they all got together and just had a jam session. And that's how I'm looking at this match. Just a bunch of old vets and pros and Hall of Famers and some of the greatest that have ever done it, getting together, getting down.
Oh, you got to love supergroups when it comes to music, or dream matches or dream rematches when it comes to wrestling. And I know a lot of people are suspending their expectation of this match because, you know, Mysterio's got to be in his mid-40s at least, and Liger's 53 or 54 or something. So you got to kind of wonder how high of a level can they really go to. So what are we going to see? Like, people that remember Liger in the States and remember what Mysterio used to do in WWE and maybe don't watch Lucha Underground or don't watch New Japan for Liger, they're not going to know what to expect from them now. they're going to have these expectations of them from the 90s or the early 2000s. So the whole suspension of disbelief, expectation versus reality kind of concept is going to be really interesting on the reception of this match, because I've already seen some people shit can it like it's going to be Tanahashi versus Billy Gunn, like last year's special in where were they weren't in Los Angeles. I forget where they were at last year, but the special in California last year, that was a terrible match. But then again, you have other people going, well, Jericho and Omega was a good match. Nobody knew what to expect from Jericho. So it can go either way. And I'm not going in with any preconceived notion that it's going to be a 5-star match or a 4-star match, or at least equivalent to what they put on at Starrcade when they were 22 years younger. But it's going to be fun. It's nostalgia. And if anybody knows anything about Japan, they know Japan loves their nostalgia. Dory Funk and Great Kabuki were in All Japan matches most of the time through last year. I would say this year, but Kabuki retired at the end of 2017 in a Noah ring. And Dory Funk still wrestles fucking matches. He's like a million years old.
I was about to say, Dory Funk's got to be like 4,000 AD at this point, right?
He is. He has the slowest spinning toe loop in the world, but they still have him do it. And he doesn't sell because I don't think he can move well enough to sell. But the fans still, for some reason, eat it up. Obviously, it's like an opening match or a second match. But still, he still gets pops. He still gets booking because that's just how Japan works. And then you've seen people like Nagata, who can still go for his age. I'm not dogging him at all. Then you've got like Minoru Nakanishi and like Satoshi Kojima, who is not as old as them, but he's considered older, and Hiroshi Tenzen and Masahiro Chono, even though he doesn't wrestle much still when he was older, would get huge. And Muda gets huge pops. They're so old, but the respect is built in Japan. So these nostalgia matches are very Japanese, regardless of the quality. People just want to see their childhood favorites just one more time.
I had no idea Dory Funk was still wrestling, man. I mean, this dude did the job to John the Baptist. Like, I had no clue. This dude tapped out Methuselah. Like, what the damn hell is going on, man? But shout out to him that he can still get out there, man.
I know.
And then the Funks, you can't kill them with a silver bullet.
No, you can't.
Yeah, but shout out. And I find, man, that the best way to enjoy wrestling is to temper your expectations anyway, man. So just enjoy it, man. It's Mysterio. It's Lager. Enjoy it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. It's a spectacle. Just have fun, man. You know, put your analyst hat away and just sit back and remember that at the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans.
True. Couldn't say it better myself.
No, that's why I said it. But somebody had to say it.
Yeah.
Yes. So that being said, Andrew, man, why don't you let the good people know where they can find you?
You can find me at Twitter at IWC Warchief, or you could always have fun and email me, God knows whatever the hell you want to email me. Maybe something about NWA, maybe something positive, maybe something negative, who knows? But it's Andrew Boulez at thechairshot.com.
We love you, NWA.
Uh-huh,
we love you. Shout out to Billy Corgan. Yeah.
You worked that in nicely, Mr. Moderator.
What was that, Magnum P.I.? What's going on here?
Wasn't that the old NWA World Championship Wrestling?
Well, that was my point, Balls. About as many people knew my joke as they knew your reference or that song. So, yeah.
Hey, you know, this is for wrestling fans. You should have at least made the wrestling reference aside from the Magnum P.I. reference.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. You heard me, and you can also find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlatt. Also, man, you guys got to check out Chairshot Radio Network. If you love this content, man, we've got a bunch of great shows on Chairshot Radio Network, man. Just tune in, man. Have fun. Have a beer. Crack a cold one. Sit back, relax, and enjoy yourselves, man. And you can catch us all at the Chairshot.com. Again, always use your head. I know you don't believe it because I don't believe it half the time either, but our friend Andrew Snowflake Balls is actually a really brilliant writer, and he creates a lot of brilliant content for thechairshot.com.
That's believe because it or not. I like NWA.
That's because I like NWA. Shut up. I too enjoyed the movie Straight Outta Compton, and thank you very much.
That was a good movie, actually.
And if you want to, for some strange reason, I don't know, maybe you're a masochist or something like that. If you want to holler at the commish PC Tunney, y'all can see him at PC Daily Dozen on Twitter. There you go. So that being said, man, for Andrew Snowflake Balls, for the commish PC Tunney, my name is Christopher Platt, man. Thank you guys for tuning in. Come back next week. Bring three people with you. And until next time, shalom.